Hi, everybody. Okay, so this evening we are beginning a new series called Mitzvah Universe. And I had the opportunity to give this series once before in Cupertino. But I think I'm just thinking the classes differently this time. I'm a different person. I have to take a fresh look at things. And I want to invite you also to take a fresh look at mitzvos, Torah and mitzvos, a new way of looking at Torah and mitzvos. Hopefully we'll try to open up some thinking this evening that'll get us thinking perhaps differently, or begin opening our minds, refreshing ourselves to a new way of approaching mitzvos. I don't know if I'm going to say something that's tremendously novel, but it'll hopefully get us to do some deep thinking, which will awaken our own thoughts up when we think about mitzvos and our commitment to mitzvos. Where do we start from? You know, mitzvos is a whole, it's a universe, it's a whole world, Torah is a whole world. Where are we going to begin from? So I think it's appropriate for us to talk about the pasuk, the verse in Mishlei. That's what I really want to develop this evening, is the pasuk called, that begins, Kiner mitzvah v'torah or, v'ochos chayim tochachos musar, which means that a candle, a little candelabra, the cup which holds the oil, is compared to a mitzvah. Kiner, a ner, normally we refer to in modern Hebrew a ner simply as a candle. We have the wax candles. But the ner that we're talking about over here is actually the cup that holds the oil. A ner is a mitzvah. Ner is compared to the mitzvah. The cup that holds the oil is compared to the mitzvah. And Torah is compared to or. Kiner mitzvah v'torah or. We'll talk about that verse a little bit more. Torah is compared to the or, the light. Right? So if you picture for yourself, the cup that holds the oil is the mitzvah, and the wick with the flame in it is the Torah. That's the comparison of the, that's the analogy of the pasuk. Kiner mitzvah v'torah or. It says in the Medrash that we started reading the book of Bereishis, the very first Medrash in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis tells us that Hashem glanced at the Torah. He looked at the Torah and created the world. So what the question is, what's the significance of that Midrash? What's the Midrash telling us that Hashem looked at the Torah and created the world? Bereishit. Right? We're familiar with this Midrash. Hashem looked at the Torah and created the world. It's an often quoted Midrash. What that tells us is that the Torah is the blueprint for the world. The Torah is the order of the world. And when Hashem intended on giving order to the world and structure to the world, Hashem looks at the Torah to create that. That means we're not talking about the physical order, we're not talking about necessarily the I'm gonna move over here. We're not necessarily talking about the natural world. Obviously, the natural world has an order, we all know. But not only the natural world, let's talk about the entire creation, the spiritual realm, the physical world. Everything that Hashem created comes from the Torah. The Torah is that blueprint, right? So Hashem looks at the Torah and He creates the world. When He intends to give order to things, He looks at the Torah. The Torah tells us, and we know from Parshas Bereishis, In the beginning verses of the Torah, it says Bereishis bara Elokim es hashamayim es haaretz. With the beginning, Bereishis, that's another way of understanding bit means with the beginning. What was the very beginning? The Torah. With the beginning of everything, the origin of everything, which is Torah, Hashem created the world. The Kabbalists teach us that, a little bit on a Kabbalistic note, the Kabbalists teach us that Hashem, the omnipresent, the true one unified existence of the world. Before creating the world, legislated a body of wisdom called the Torah. That came from him. That was the original creation. Then to create, Hashem like originated the blueprint. And that blueprint is, it's an esoteric discussion, but that blueprint is the spiritual, the metaphysical spiritual blueprint of the world. Hashem then looked at that original creation, that reshit, that first thing, which is that Torah which Hashem imparted his wisdom into a legislation, the Torah. Hashem then looked at that legislation, that blueprint, and then Hashem created the order of the rest of the world by looking at it. Just as a scribe, you know, the law is the scribe, when he writes a Sefer Torah, he has to have another Torah in front of him. That's the law. The law is that the Torah has to be in front of him. When you write a Torah, you can't, even if you know the Torah by heart, right? Even if you know the Torah by heart, you can't just sit there and write the Torah. You actually have to have the script of another Torah in front of you. Much like Hashem, who when he looked at the Torah, created the world. The very same thing. What's the idea? Just like this Torah is in front of me, and I'm making a replica, an exact replica of the first Torah, so too the world is a replica. The order of the world is a replica of the Torah. Okay? So that's what the Torah gives the world. The Torah gives the world order. To the extent that the rabbis teach us, we all know that it says, Vayehi erev vayehi voker, yom hashishi. And it was evening and it was morning, the sixth day. Now by every day of creation, we know, the Torah says, it was morning, it was evening, the fourth day. It was morning, it was evening, the third day. It was morning, it was evening, the fifth day. It always says, Yom Chamishi, Yom Rivi'i. It just says the day plainly. But when it comes to the sixth day, suddenly the Torah inserts a hey, the, ha, hashishi, the sixth day. Why does the Torah insert a hey, the sixth day? What's special about the sixth day?
Man
was created, it was a completion of creation. True. There's also, that's correct, and always also be, in fact, parallel with what I'm about to say, is that the sixth day was the sixth day of the month of Sivan when the Jewish people accepted the Torah. That means all of creation was being weaved together through looking at the Torah. Hashem was creating the Torah. It came to the sixth day. The sixth day represents the sixth day of the month of Sivan. Shavuot, when the Jewish people accepted the Torah, and God said, Hashishi, the sixth day, if the sixth day stands, meaning, if the Jewish people accept the order of the world, on the sixth day, on Friday, on that sixth day of Shavuot, on the sixth day of the month of Sivan, then the rest of the world will stand. That means Hashem was anticipating, expecting what to happen, that the order should be confirmed. It's like, just quite simply, what the Midrash is telling us, it's kind of like an architect, an engineer. They're designing the plan, they look at the plan, they're putting it together. They've got it all going, then they mail it out. You know, they need to get the seal of approval from the office, wherever that authorizing office is. When the Jewish people accept the Torah, everything is waiting until you have the deadline, you met the deadline, the world was created, now it's being submitted to man, to Adam, on the sixth day, which eventually the full representation of the sixth day will be when the Jewish people accept the Torah at Mount Sinai. Because Adam wasn't able to stand the test. The Jewish people represent humanity accepting Torah. Small group of humanity accepting Torah. We're like on the sixth day, just like Adam on the sixth day had the opportunity to succeed or fail. And so too the Jewish people had that sixth day. We were waiting for that sixth day to come to fruition, and Hashem was waiting to see, will this stamp of approval be accepted? The point in all of this is that the Torah itself is the blueprint for which all of creation is contingent upon, if the Torah will be confirmed in this world. If the Torah is accepted in this world, then what we're saying is that the order of the world will be confirmed and that the purpose is complete. So we're just digressing to the topic of Torah over here to understand. When we're saying Torah is Torah or Torah is light, well, what is Torah? First and foremost, Torah is the order of the world. The Maharal adds, and this is where we come into the topic of mitzvos, the Maharal adds that when a contractor is building a house, for example, what's in his mind at the very beginning is, okay, well, how is this going to be used for living? You know, well, which rooms are going to be used as a living space? Which rooms are going to be used as a bathroom and a kitchen? You know, you're planning out the house. You're thinking of the final purpose in mind. Even before you start building, you have the final purpose in mind. Says the Maharal, the same is true when Hashem created the Torah. This is where we're making the next level switch. It's not just the order of the world. Hashem's purpose in creating the world, part of the purpose, is for the Torah to be actualized in this world. It's to take that legislature, that wisdom that was originated by Hashem, even before creation began, way before, so to say, there was no time, but if you will, it was before creation, that legislation has to become part and parcel of this world. Has to become actualized in this world. So when we say Hashem looked at the world and looked at the Torah and created the world, what he's looking at is the last thing in mind. He's saying, well, how will the Torah become practiced in this world? How will it be practiced in this world? Well, if I want the Torah, which has 248 mitzvot, positive mitzvot, to be fulfilled in the world, I have to create a human being with 248 limbs. The limbs of man have to correspond to the mitzvos of the Torah. So Hashem's looking at the Torah and saying, well, how will the Torah be actualized in this world? Well, I need to make the vessel, I need to make the instruments and the tools in the physical world to be able to accomplish the Torah. That's where mitzvos come in. That's where mitzvos come in. When we think about mitzvos, it's an amazing thing. You know, let's take a fresh look at it for a moment. There's something called Torah, and there's something called mitzvos. It's two different things. Just think about it. Refresh your mind for a moment. You know, we seem to lump Judaism things together. But let's take it, let's understand. Hashem descended on Har Sinai and gave the Jewish people two separate bodies of wisdom, wisdom. Hashem gave us two separate things, two separate compartments. One was Torah, and one was mitzvah. So we say this in the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. In the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah we say, Hashem, you came down on Mount Sinai, latet la'amcha Torah u'mitzvot, to give your people Torah and mitzvot. And every Maariv, every evening we say, Torah and mitzvot. We mentioned it in before the Shema, that Hashem gave us Torah and mitzvos. There are two bodies called Torah and mitzvos. It's two totally separate things. The mitzvos are the actualization of the Torah. They're two separate things, but they're connected. Much like the cup that holds the oil is the cup that holds the oil is the mitzvah. It gives room, it facilitates the light to come to fruition. Without the cup of the mitzvah, the light of the Torah wouldn't shine. So the mitzvah, one aspect of the mitzvah then, is how will the Torah come into this world? How will it come into this world? So when Hashem has in mind, I'm going to create the world with an order, I'm going to create it for the purpose of bringing the wisdom down to the world, it's through the mitzvos. Okay. So that's just a little piece to start off with, to think about. Hopefully that revolutionizes a little bit of how we think of Torah and Mitzvos. Right? A revolution is a little bit of how we think of Torah and Mitzvos. That Torah is coming from that very early beginning, Bereshit. It's coming from that very early beginning. It is the Reshit. It's the very beginning. It's the wisdom of Hashem. It's how Hashem's influence is coming into the world. Very early on. And it's trickling down through Hashem's creation, making an order. And what grounds the Torah in the world is the mitzvah. So that's one perspective on mitzvos. Any thoughts, comments, anything on this idea? I'll tell you something I thought about. Just throw something out. You know, any thoughts on this? Let's try to understand and break down the fact that there's a Torah and mitzvos. What's interesting is, like, let's say Hashem, when he first created the world, and there was first man, Adam Harishon, there was no Torah given to man. And yet there was a mitzvah. Hashem gave Adam Harishon the mitzvah of not eating from the tree of knowledge. That's very interesting.
You call that a mitzvah?
That was a mitzvah. It says in the Torah quite explicitly, it says, Hashem commanded Vayitzav. He commanded Vayitzav. He commanded him. He instructed him.
Yeah. Command does not mean mitzvah.
What would you call that?
That's an order.
Okay.
The order not to eat. A mitzvah is something good to do.
Yeah. That's true. Many of our mitzvos can be compartmentalized in so many different ways. Many of our mitzvos are good actions to do. But fundamentally, what all mitzvos have in common is the fact that they're an order from Hashem. It's a nice thing to love your neighbor as you love yourself, and it's a nice thing to give charity, but you're also obligated to give charity.
Yeah.
And you're obligated, you must give charity. Every person must give charity. Every single Jew is obligated in the midst of tzedakah. And every person is obligated to love their fellow as they love themselves.
Sorry, it's the phone. I don't think you guys would want to.
So what's interesting about Adam HaRishon is that there was no Torah that preceded the mitzvah. That's a very interesting thing, that there was no Torah that preceded the mitzvah. So there is a concept of a mitzvah without Torah, you might say. There is a concept of a Torah without mitzvah, with a mitzvah without Torah.
But didn't you say he entered the Torah to create the world? So there must have been Torah before that mitzvah.
Yes, there was a Torah, but it wasn't introduced to humanity to say, listen, here's the Torah, now bring it out this way. Right? That wasn't given. Mm-hmm. Right? You're right. There was the Torah, but it wasn't given to him. It wasn't told to him. I'm not aware, at least in my study, that ever Adam HaRishon received Torah from Hashem. I'm not familiar with that teaching ever. In fact, it was only Avraham Avinu who was able to understand creation so well. He in fact authored a book. In our tradition, we have a book called Sefer Yetzirah, the book of formation, the book of creation, that Avraham Avinu wrote. That's our tradition, that Avraham Avinu wrote a book called Sefer Yetzirah. This is a Kabbalistic work, and it explains the building blocks of how Hashem created the world Kabbalistically, and through understanding the Kabbalistic workings of the world, understanding the dynamics of creation, Avraham Avinu was able to crystallize his understanding into observance of a mitzvah. And that's why our sages teach us that his understanding was so deep. Avraham Avinu, it's so appropriate, this week's Parsha, starting to talk about Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu's understanding of creation was so deep, he was able to work forward, to look at what was in this world, work backwards, and then work forward. He was able to analyze the sophisticated tradition that he had from Shem all the way back to Adam HaRishon. There was a tradition that was studied about the creation of the world. Adam HaRishon did have that. Adam HaRishon, first man, did have an understanding of the world. Wasn't necessarily given Torah by Hashem, to my knowledge. My knowledge, that didn't precede the mitzvah. It's not connected to the mitzvah. Even if Adam was given some understanding and wisdom, it's not necessarily connected to the mitzvah that he received, not to eat from the tree of knowledge. But there was a tradition that went from Adam to Shem, to Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu understood the workings of creation so deeply that he was able to do some great thinking and crystallize his understanding of the world to the point that he was able to bring it out into an actual formation, into the formation of a mitzvah, which wasn't then a mitzvah, wasn't a commandment, but an action that would represent how to bring the theory of Torah practically into the world. That was Avraham Avinu. So his understanding was connected to Torah. He wasn't given Torah at that point, but it was connected to Torah. See, the mitzvah of Adam wasn't connected to Torah, but the mitzvah of Avraham was connected to the Torah that he was able to understand creation and connected to Torah. The value of what we have today, after the giving of the Torah, is that the entire wisdom of Hashem was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. All of the Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, with all of the details of the mitzvos. So we're not trying to work and figure out creation. We have the wisdom, and we have the mitzvah. So all that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Yes, Tani.
What was the first mitzvah given? Wasn't it Rosh Chodesh?
Okay.
So where is the connection to Torah there?
Right. Right. An unusual thing. Very unusual. There's a series of mitzvos, actually, that were given to the Jewish people before they got to Har Sinai. There's a whole number of mitzvos. The first one, for example, that you're mentioning is sanctifying the new month. Every time the new month comes, there's a mitzvah for a Jewish court, to gather and proclaim the new month through witnesses. Oh, that's the whole tractate Rosh Hashanah. That's one part, that's one mitzvah. They learned all the laws of Korban Pesach. And then they learned the laws of Shabbat and the laws of circumcision. And there were numerous mitzvot given between the time that they were in Egypt, or about to depart from Egypt, a few days before departure, 2 weeks before, up until they got to Har Sinai, which was some 2 months later. So there were 2 months that the Jewish people had mitzvot without the receiving of the Torah. Two months or 9 weeks or whatever. Well, that's not connected to Torah. Well, the truth is, though, that although they didn't have all of the body of Torah given to them at Har Sinai, with each one of the mitzvot, Hashem taught Moshe the Torah of the mitzvah. So they came in little packages, little packets. Each mitzvah came as a little packet with the Torah. He was taught all the laws of the Torah with the mitzvah. See, the mitzvot that Avraham Avinu observed are not recorded in the Torah. The only mitzvah that's observed, that is recorded in the Torah, is the mitzvah of circumcision that we're going to read about in this week's parsha. But that Hashem gave him one mitzvah. All the other mitzvot that Avraham Avinu observed, which he observed the entire Torah, what we call all the body of mitzvot, that's not recorded, because that was not given by Hashem as a packet of Torah and mitzvot. The only Torah that's recorded for us, the only mitzvot that are recorded, are the mitzvot that come with Torah. The mitzvot that don't come with Torah, you know, what Avraham Avinu observed, what Yaakov observed, what Yitzchak observed, that's not recorded. So there was some Torah that came along at the same time. But every mitzvah is connected to Torah. Hashem, why is Hashem connected to Torah? Why does he want us to connect it to Torah?
Why is Hashem connecting the mitzvah?
Why is it that Hashem is connecting each mitzvah to to Torah. What's the reason for that? Why is he connecting every mitzvah to Torah?
So maybe if we read the Torah, we'll be aware that we're supposed to do mitzvahs.
Okay. So if we study the Torah, we'll be aware we have to do the mitzvot.
Right.
But Hashem could just tell us in the Torah to do a mitzvah. What's, why is it, what are we trying to accomplish by having Torah packet, a piece of Torah, the study of Torah, the body of knowledge and wisdom that's connected to the mitzvah?
Okay.
Maybe it brings it down to our connect. It brings it down to our physical being able to live in the world. The mitzvah, it's a channel. Like, you know, you have the Torah, which is has many, many, many levels, but the mitzvah puts it on a level that we can maybe understand through it. At first, like kindness, being kind, doing kind things. It's for us, you know, we're being kind to other people, but we're getting a lot from it too. Because they say the reward of a mitzvah is the mitzvah itself. So when we do a mitzvah, we're living, I guess we're living the Torah.
So it's the framework. It's the framework of the entire mitzvah. The Torah is the framework of the mitzvah. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, I think so. It's almost the framework of the world, you know, it gives us, it's what's the substance of it.
Okay, it's the substance of it, and it brings it, the mitzvah brings that Torah down to our level, right? Hashem, clearly, Hashem wants us with every mitzvah that we do, and it's such a simple point, but it's so important, it's been made before by others, is that, it's a very simple point, but a really important point, is that with every mitzvah, Hashem clearly wants us to understand the mitzvah to its depth and then perform the mitzvah. The mitzvah action, let's say for example, I'll use the example that you gave. You gave the example of doing chesed, right? And doing chesed, independent of the Torah body that's connected to the mitzvah, just being nice and being kind, because it's a nice thing to do, is not, although it's a great thing to do, but it's not the mitzvah. A mitzvah is the one that's connected to Torah. With meaning, the mitzvah is the, again, the receptacle for that light, right? With a container that holds the oil and doesn't bear any light, that doesn't serve any purpose. It's not serving that any great purpose. The purpose is that it serves the light that it brings down. So what Hashem wants us to understand and flesh out, really get clear, what is the Torah that's in the mitzvah? The mitzvah ultimately is just that action that will bring into practice the great Torah that's behind it. So doesn't mean that if you don't know all the great learning that's behind a particular mitzvah, that you shouldn't observe it. As long as we observe it because Hashem said so, that's a great thing in itself. However, the full package is to really study the mitzvah, and then when you perform the mitzvah properly, you're actually bringing, you're bringing the light of the Torah, which is the purpose of creation, as we said. You bring the light of Torah through the mitzvah into the world. That's why we have this class. Hopefully. The purpose of this class is, that's what I'm trying to impart in different classes, is to study mitzvot one at a time and understand the body of Torah that lies behind each mitzvah. Then, when we do the mitzvah will bear its true meaning. Obviously, we can always study more and more of the mitzvah, needless to say. But we'll allow one evening for each mitzvah. But each mitzvah that we do then, every mitzvah that we do, with the understanding of what's behind the mitzvah, the theory of the mitzvah, the laws that give the structure to the mitzvah. So we understand, what is this, you know, if you will, the tangible mitzvah. What is this tangible mitzvah? What are its dimensions? What does it look like? How does it behave? what is it? We understand the nature of the mitzvah well, then when we do that mitzvah, it will have so much greater impact. It's a little bit of a spiritual pursuit, right? But it's really something that is necessary for us to be observant, of the mitzvah. And we are actually, when we do that mitzvah then, we're literally being partners with Hashem in creating the world and bringing to the world the purpose of bringing the Torah into the world, for the purpose of bringing godliness into the world and connecting the world with Hashem and elevating everything that we do. That will be possible through studying the mitzvos. Okay, let's proceed. See one more quick point on Torah and mitzvah. You know, Hashem could have called the Torah chokhmah, wisdom. Why does Hashem call the Torah Torah? Torah, the word Torah is connected to or, light. Like we just said right now, kiner mitzvah. The mitzvah is like the handle, is the receptacle that holds the oil, and the Torah is or. The word Torah actually comes from the word or. But it would have been more appropriate for the Torah to be called Chachmah, wisdom. It's the wisdom of Hashem. So that reveals to us that it's not pure wisdom. Meaning, if one studies Torah simply for the wisdom of Torah, that is not Torah. That's called Chachmah, wisdom. Just like one would study any other discipline. That's called chachma, that's wisdom. To study Torah means there's an added characteristic to Torah, beyond wisdom. It's wisdom that sheds light into the world, or more specifically, directs us and gives us guidance. It's a guiding wisdom. That's what the word Torah means. It's a guiding wisdom. So it's impossible, if you will, to have Torah without mitzvos, in a sense. Of course, you could have Torah. You could have the body of wisdom, but that's called chokhmah. When the Torah is connected to a mitzvah, then it's Torah. When we take our learning, and we, you know, if we sit and study about a mitzvah, and we don't apply it, then we've studied the wisdom. But when we are intending, whenever possible, to apply the wisdom that we've studied toward guiding us, toward practice whenever possible. So then what we've studied, it doesn't remain in the realm of chokhmah, of pure wisdom. It actually becomes Torah. It now guides us. It's Torah. And that's how Torah is connected to mitzvah. So there's the chokhmah, there's the wisdom of Hashem. Then it's the chokhmah that's connected to a mitzvah is called Torah, and the mitzvah is the actualization of the Torah. It takes that applicable wisdom, the wisdom that guides, and puts it into practice. That's an interesting thing. If you've ever thought about it before, why Torah is not called wisdom, it's actually a guiding wisdom. That's the definition of Torah. Yeah.
So, chokhmah, if you look at... ten spheros, Chachmah is just one of them. It's a very important one, but just one of them.
Right.
So, to actualize the wisdom, we need to go through a whole system, right, probably. But it's probably impossible for one person or, you know, for a group of people. It's probably the goal for the universe, right, to get from Keter through to Malchut and kind of through a whole system of spheros. But so Chachmah, and then we have Bina, and then we have Da'at, right? So maybe what we're talking today is about those three spheros.
Yeah. Okay, you're out of my league, Alex. You're out of my league, but no. So, the same. Yes, it is about
we
those.
Need to study it as a wisdom, we need to to work out all the we need to internalize it.
Yes.
Now in the dot it's kind of synthesis, right?
Yes.
When we internalize it, then it really becomes our nature.
Yes.
Then we know how to, we know, not only know, but we can apply it.
Yes.
We can live through it.
I want to add to what you're saying, if you don't mind, to develop it a little bit in a way that I can make it tangible right here. It's out of my league. But we're talking about Chachma, Bina, and Das. So we know that without getting too mystical, but I want to talk on the points that these are words that are mentioned in right in the beginning of Proverbs, straight out of the Tanakh. It's not, you know, in the Zohar. It's straight in the Tanakh. You open the book of Proverbs right away. The second verse begins with Chachma, Bina, and Das. Chachma means wisdom. Bina means understanding. And Das means knowledge. What's the difference between wisdom, understanding, and knowledge? So, the Vilna Gaon explains in the book of Proverbs, he says the following. He says, Chachma, I'm going to give his example. Maybe it's outdated, maybe it's not outdated. In my family, I don't think it's outdated, but, you know, Chachma is something, if you will, let's talk about male, female, relationship, or, like dominant male, dominant female, if you will, right? So the male thinking is, if you will, the wisdom. Like, for example, the way the Vilna Gaon says it is that in the classic regular formation of family structure, the father, the husband, the male, is the one that generally gives the general form and direction and, you know, without details, you know, just blocks of direction and form. How the details will work out, you know, we all know that men are not particularly detail-oriented, unless you're an engineer or something. But generally speaking, most of us are not very detail-oriented. You know, men can't even can't multitask, as it's well known. It's well evident in my home, that men cannot multitask. You know, we're not detail-oriented. We have difficulty, this is generalization. Men are more chachma-oriented, which is a block of wisdom. Female, women, is Bina. Bina is understanding. That's assimilating. It's taking the wisdom, taking the information, and breaking it down into its various components and understanding how it's going to be applied. That is Bina. The book of Proverbs compares Bina to women. A woman is more Bina-oriented. When Hashem built Chava, he took Adam's rib and he built Vayiven. He built from the rib, he built Bina. Vayiven, he built. The building blocks, the components of building is something that's associated more with female. The union of male and female together is known in the Torah as Das, as knowledge. Right, like we know, for example, Vayeda ha'adam eschava ishto, and man knew, literally knew, his wife Chava. Right, so the union of Chachma and Bina is Das. So if we were to use that structure to understand what we're talking about, Hashem brought Chachma into the world, if you will, when he first, before creation, he legislated the body of wisdom, Chachma. Articulating it, it becomes Bina. And the mitzvos are Das. The mitzvos are the knowledge, I mean they are the applicable knowledge. Do this in this way, like this. You have a body of wisdom, you assimilate it into its components, and then you come out with the actual applicable case, the actual applicable tool. That is the mitzvah. So the Chachma is the very origination of the wisdom, if you will. Hashem's imparting the body of wisdom. then the Bina is the Torah, the guidance, the Torah. And then from there comes the Das. And if we, I'm just going to digress for one moment because it's an interesting topic to me, is if we look at Torah itself, the written Torah is also called Chochmah. The written Torah, for example, says you should slaughter an animal before you eat it. It doesn't say anything about how, with what, where, doesn't say anything. What, that's Chochmah. The written Torah is like Chochmah. The oral Torah, which is something that's passed on in tradition, that's like...
To a man.
I'm sorry?
To a man, right?
That's true. But it's passed on in tradition, the oral tradition, the understanding, that's called Bina, that's the oral Torah. And the rabbinic ordinances give strict structure. They put the definitions on a mitzvah. That's Das. So you have this in various levels. The point is that what we are, you're right, what we are interested in here is we're interested in understanding the Chachma, Bina, and Das of every mitzvah. We want to understand where does it say in the Torah, what's the source. We want to know how can it be understood in its components, and we ultimately want to know how to apply it practically. But if we just do that, if we just do the mitzvah without having connected the Chochmah and Bina, then it's not much of a das. It's not much of a knowledge. What is it knowledge of? What is a mitzvah knowledge of if it doesn't originate from the synthesis of Chochmah and Bina? What else is it? So what is the mitzvah? So what we need is to get the synthesis of Chochmah and Bina and then to arrive at the Das. Very esoteric, I know. New topic. Yes?
Didn't God give the order to do something?
Yes.
And like you said, Bina for somebody to understand, and then you have the third thing mm-hmm. to confirm what they're doing. Didn't man decided on his own, or did he follow God's saying? For example, so many things in the religion.
Yes.
Like a religious person will take it no problem. But when you come to a non-religious person.
Yes. Which we all have that inside of us, and we need to educate ourselves. You know, like someone says to me, sorry to interrupt you.
No, no,
like someone says to me, like, you know, well, for my children, such and such, you know, or I tell my children such and such. Inside of us, we all have to educate ourselves like children, you know. So you say, no, but for a religious person, this and
no.
this, for a non like we all need the education, but I'm just digressing,
okay.
I'm sorry.
But
yes.
I'm not talking about myself.
Okay.
I'm talking about somebody.
Yes.
That I'm trying to bring back slowly.
Okay, look, okay.
And this particular person keeps saying, God did not say, you have to eat like this,
mm-hmm.
and you have to do this,
mm-hmm.
and you have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, when you get an order
mm-hmm.
from a rabbi, he's not doing it from his own,
mm-hmm.
he's following a book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we'll study. When we come to each mitzvah, we'll understand, we'll try to understand its very origin, what laws pertain to it, flesh it out, understand the concepts, and then maybe you'll be better equipped to have that discussion.
But this particular person feels that it's not, the books are not made because God said to write like this, like that. She feels that it's a man who exaggerated to do something like that.
Okay.
So why have this life miserable and just being restricted from so many things?
Okay.
No, I need to know because that will help my chokhmah to say something.
I understand. Well, I think you should use the same template, but not on practical mitzvos. Move it way back, somewhere else, thinking about Jewish identity. You might be more effective. You know, people are holding at different levels all the time. People need friends and support, in whatever level of whatever, wherever they are on the Jewish spectrum. You know. Everyone's on the Jewish spectrum somewhere. Everyone's on the Jewish spectrum somewhere. No one's lost. Everyone's somewhere on the Jewish spectrum. We all have to... So we all need our support on the Jewish spectrum. And maybe you're just applying it on the wrong area. Maybe move all the way back Okay, that's for a perhaps a different discussion. Okay.
Are we going to go through all 613 mitzvahs set and learn all of them?
Do you want to?
Yeah.
Okay. We do need to. We do need to.
Question?
Yeah. No. What? Which mitzvahs are we going to go through? Are we going to go through all 613?
Okay.
That was the question.
Okay, still early.
We'll try to. We'll definitely try to. I'll try to first address the ones that are most practical, most pertinent, and then we'll see where we go from there. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. I want to conclude with a well known Gemara and explain this Gemara, and this will take us a little bit to a different direction. The Gemara says in Tractate Makot, page 24, Daf Chaf Dalet, says the following: Darash Rabbi Simloi. Rabbi Simloi was a prominent figure in the Gemara. It's quoted several times in the Gemara. Rabbi Simloi said the following: 613 mitzvos were said to Moshe at Sinai. 365, which are negative mitzvos, if you will, negative or restrictions, 365 restrictions, lo taseh, which correspond to the days of the solar calendar, 365 days of the year. And there are 248 active mitzvos, mitzvos aseh, which correspond to the 248 limbs of the human body. What's the significance of that? So what's the significance that there are 365 that correspond to the days of the solar calendar and 248 that correspond to the days, to the limbs of a person's body? So they're two separate concepts. We know there are two categories of mitzvot: the restrictions and the positive mitzvot. When you hold a candle and you're walking in the dark, there are two things that the candle does for you. The candle, the light that you have, will first and foremost highlight any obstacles. Secondly, it will light your way where to go to. There are two things that the candle accomplishes. It lights up, but it does two things. It will prevent you from tripping and falling into obstacles, and it will also show you the way. That is the Torah. The Torah, the body of Torah, what we just talked about, the guiding knowledge, that's the definition of Torah. The guiding knowledge has two aspects to it. When you hold the guiding knowledge and you use it, the guiding knowledge will prevent you from stumbling. It will also highlight your way as a light. Those break off practically into two branches of mitzvos. The restrictions, they are restrictions because the Torah is telling you in a practical way, don't go there, you'll stumble. That's basically the body of wisdom, the Torah, the guiding wisdom, is lighting up your way through the mitzvah, the practical mitzvah, right? Chachma Bina Das, it's telling you, don't go there, you'll stumble. It's also lighting up your way and telling you, go here. This is the path. So that is the active mitzvah. That's the mitzvah's aseh. So says the Talmud, the 365 restrictions of the Torah, the 365 mitzvos, which originate from Torah, these 365 mitzvos, correspond to the days of the solar calendar. What does that have to do with anything? The solar calendar. Well, the solar calendar is a big discussion in rabbinic literature, without it getting into the sun and what the sun represents. But we can simply take one thing at least. The sun is really the source of life on earth. I mean, the sun is what, you know, is what makes life possible on earth. It is powerful. It is, you know, we don't have to say much about the sun. It's as clear as day. Okay? So, that is the sun. The sun, though, also represents, throughout rabbinic literature, Another theme of the sun is that it represents the natural world, the natural order. The natural world. Without getting into great detail, that is why the Gentiles, their calendar corresponds to the solar calendar. What significance does that have that it corresponds to the solar calendar? There are those that go through the lunar calendar, it's true, but predominantly what's identified as the Gentile calendar, at least in the Talmud and probably in the world today, is the solar calendar, right? Why the solar calendar? Because the solar calendar represents nature. It represents order in this world. It is the order of this world. Just as the Torah, the Chachma, the wisdom, is the order of the spiritual, the entire creation, so too the sun represents, if you will, the physical order. We make time. Time is all based on the sun, right? And life, physical life, is origins are from the sun. So the sun represents the physical order. And the Gentiles, their calendar corresponds to the sun, because Gentiles are, first and foremost, citizens of the physical world, as opposed to the Jewish people that are first and foremost citizens of the world to come. We are in this world to accomplish mitzvos and go through the corridor to the world to come. We're predominantly citizens of the world to come. Whereas Gentiles, predominantly, naturally, they're citizens of this world, of the physical world. Of course, they can attain spiritual perfection and go and merge to the world to come. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. However, that's something that doesn't come for granted. That's something they need to earn. Whereas a Jew, for granted, a Jew is allotted a portion, every Jew. We say, Kol Yisrael, Yesh Lahem, Chelak L'Olam Haba. Every Jew is automatically granted a freebie, a portion in the world to come. A Chelak L'Olam Haba. So this is just a side, really just a side point, but they predominantly are citizens of this world and need to get a portion in the world to come, where we already have a portion in the world to come, and we're in this world to do the mitzvos, to actualize the Torah. What is the world to come? Briefly, the world to come, we all know, is the existence of in the afterlife and eventually post-messianic era. Okay, without getting into broad discussion, that's what we mean when we say the world to come, the next world. So the sun represents the physical existence. When a person lives in this world, all of us, we all have character traits and tendencies and habits and persuasions and desires that represent our natural existence. A mitzvah, the purpose of the mitzvah is to assimilate the Torah into our life, into our world. It lights our way. By the Torah's instructions and restrictions, the negative restrictions, say don't go here, corresponds to the physical world, which means it guides the Jew to tell him or her, to tell the Jew, beware of, overcome the obstacles of the physical world. Be above the sun, if you will. Be above the natural order. Surpass your limitations of the physical world. Become a creature that is spiritual, that is yearning for something higher. How do you do that? By, in many cases, 365 cases, by avoiding the tendencies, the natural tendencies and desires that pull you down into the physical. At the same time, that's what it means that it corresponds to the days of the solar calendar. So we want mitzvos. The mitzvos are telling us, don't be pulled down by the physical world. At the same time, the mitzvos are also positive and they are instructing us to strengthen our limbs. So just like if we were to exercise and to be in a and a good diet, to be strong, to be able to develop our physical body, so too the Torah wants us to develop our spiritual existence. The physical body is representative of the 248 metaphysical limbs of the person, a person's existence. So when we do the mitzvos with our physical body, for example, when we light candles for Shabbat, or when we put on tefillin, or when we shake the lulav, we are perfecting parts of our body that participate in the mitzvah. And by doing that, we are strengthening our metaphysical, spiritual existence. So that's what the mitzvah is doing. And the mitzvah is bringing the Torah, the wisdom, the light of the Torah, into our, investing it and injecting it into our spiritual existence. That's what's happening with the mitzvah. So that's what it means that the 613 mitzvahs correspond to the 365 days of the calendar, telling us to be careful, watch out, and also to the 248, strengthening our limbs. Any comments on that? Questions, comments? Okay. Some of those mitzvos are intellectual mitzvos. They have only to do with thought, like belief in one God, belief in not believing in idolatry, and so on. Some of those relate to the physical body. But they're all different components, you know, some are just, you know, some are emotional. So there's all kinds of different mitzvos that relate to all sorts of facets of our existence. Okay, so that's my little piece of introduction on mitzvos. Next week, please God, November 3rd in the evening, we will have a class here at 8 o'clock. And I'm up for suggestions if you want. If you have an idea of which mitzvah you want to start with, don't jump all at once. But if you have an idea, please share it with me. If you want me to cover a particular mitzvah that I may not cover next week, in the future, you can email me, you can tell me in person, you can call me, whatever you want. I will choose mitzvahs for the class as we go along. And I'll give you a heads up via email through the Amachad email. There'll be a heads up of what mitzvah we're intending on covering the coming week. Thank you.